Hi, everybody. Joe Bozzello and Tom Healy, co-founders of Growth10.com. We've been spending the day today talking about leadership and strategy and a few of the categories that are very important to us inside of the Growth10 platform and catalog. And I want to talk to you about a very simple kind of a micro subject within the area of vision. And it's about being part of something bigger, feeling that you can be part of something bigger yourself, but also enrolling others into being part of something bigger. It's why people join you. It's why they stay. And it's why, and this is really important, it's why they'll work so much harder than they ever even thought of working when you make them feel part of something bigger.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about three key things that you can do to really make your team feel like they are part of something bigger. And the first thing, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's so critical, is you've got to have a really exciting, bold, sexy, big, wonderful vision. All right, you've got to have that vision.
Any more superlatives you want to throw in there?
I ran out. I was going to do it for as long as I could go, and I think I got to like five good ones.
But
and then was
but
it.
Look, I got to tell you, this one for me, we'll end with takeaways as we always do. But this is, I can already tell you, this is my big takeaway. I worked for someone for a number of years, reported to someone who had this big vision, and she made every one of us feel like we were working for something that was so stupendous and so much bigger, and I did so much more than I would have done otherwise, so I know this works.
Yeah, and you know, one of my favorite stories about vision, and I've probably told you this before, but when John F. Kennedy was our president, he was touring NASA, and this is before we had put anyone on the moon. And he's going around, he's talking to workers there, and he goes up to one gentleman and he says, "What do you do here?" And the guy says, "I'm helping to put someone on the moon." Well, it turns out he was a janitor, but he just felt like, hey,
But in his mind, he wasn't only sweeping floors and cleaning bathrooms.
No, but he was sweeping floors and cleaning bathrooms to keep that facility clean. And if that facility was clean, then people would be more productive and in a cleaner, safer, better environment so that they could, on a quicker and better basis, help us be the country that put someone on the moon for the first time ever. So that's a great example of someone that just simply was so committed to the vision of what they were building that they considered that to be their job. They just happened to sweep floors or clean toilets or do whatever they did. And this is why it's so critical in a business that everyone has a really specific role that ties into the vision of what they're trying to do. An example that I've used a lot when I'm talking about the importance of doing this is we take the example of a front office, front desk, secretary, administrative person. Now, most people say,
"Oh, well, it's just a secretary. It's an hourly receptionist.
Yeah, it's an hourly wage. It's probably close to minimum wage. Just stick someone up there that doesn't frighten people, and you know, it's one less thing we have to worry about. We'll fill that role and move on." And I said, "Well, hold on. If you want an A player in that role that's functioning as an A player, then guess what you need to do? You need to describe that role, and you need to describe why that role helps the organization accomplish its vision." So that is now the director of first impressions. And that means when someone walks through the door, whether it's a candidate for a position or it's someone considering the product or service that you sell, they're being greeted by a warm, friendly person. "Can I get you anything? Who are you here to see?" The area is clean. They're friendly. They're high energy. Because at the end of the day, that's the first impression that someone has of your organization when they walk through your door. So now you've found someone that is committed to that role, that understands how their role fits the vision of the organization. And it's so critical. But it's the same thing. It's a janitor. It's a front desk person. You can say it like that and find someone to just sit there and push a sweeper or, you know, say hi to someone. Or you can find someone that really is bought into that and feels like they're part of something bigger.
And if you as a leader really believe this, really take this to heart. You feel that everyone really does have an important role to move the entire organization, the entire ship forward, then you could do better than just default hires. Default hiring is we hire someone because they're available. If everyone fills a role, then you could look at that person and it will come through you. You know, a God in the universe will come through you and they'll be convinced as you're talking with them and sharing your passion of the bigger vision, the bigger thing that they're part of, they will become immediately enrolled. You could hire a better class of people.
Yep.
So let me talk about the big purpose. So what is the big purpose that they're going to be part of? And I want you to think, if you're a place where you could write, I want you to write down the word movement. What is the movement? What movement are they becoming part of? This young lady that I reported to for just over a decade helped us move the state of California for the company we reported to. She helped us develop something so big and move that into a place of prominence. Prior to her coming in, when I was just meeting her and understanding that I'd have a new report, California was doing okay, but it was kind of a stepchild to the company. Something the company said, well, there's a lot of potential in California, but it hasn't fulfilled that potential yet. And she made us believe that we're not only going to fulfill the potential of the company, we were going to blow some of the other major territories away across the nation. And when we started turning those numbers and showing up at the national meetings, I can't tell you that the half a dozen or eight of us that ran the state of California as state managers, I can't tell you the amount of pride that we felt. We really felt like we were part of a movement. So are you making your people part of a movement?
Yep. And then we have one more.
Yeah, and that's about, it's about organizational standards. Are you setting really high standards inside of your culture? That's a word that we should talk about when we're talking about this subject. But are you setting, establishing, and staying to high standards of production and conduct in your organization? And are you keeping score and showing the score? I've said often, and you've heard it, if you keep the score will improve. So standards high, keeping the score out in front of everyone. Standards are important in an organization.
Well, and I think another word for it I think of is expectations. And I know Nick Saban, who's a football coach for the University of Alabama, that's one of the big things that, you know, he constantly harps on is, if you want to wear this logo and you want to be a part of this organization, there are certain things that you have to do. You have to show up for classes. You have to put in an A effort in the workout facilities. You have to be on a certain type of diet and meal plan. You have to study.
That would leave me out. All the rest I could do.
But the idea being is that there are certain standards within this organization. Yeah. And if you can't adhere to those and you can't do those, there's just not a fit here for you. Yeah. And by raising those standards, by creating those clear and big and important expectations, man, it's just you make the organization bigger and better and badder.
And anyone stepping into the organization looks at those standards, looks at those levels of production, and everything is believable. They believe they can get there because across the board, people are producing. The organizations I've had the responsibility and I would say the honor to coach and lead, we always had high production. And we didn't let people off the hook. And I want to make sure you hear that. Don't let people, as a great leader, don't let people off the hook. Keep those standards high and keep the score and put the score out there. So big takeaways?
Well, I was just going to say one more thing in terms of, you know, A players want to be around other A players.
Yes, yes.
Mediocre people
are
either going to have to step up their game or they're going to have to jump off the ship. Right. And those lousy people you don't want in your organization, they're either going to quickly self-select out or they're going to see those standards and never want to be a part of that organization.
Absolutely. They'll vote themselves off the island.
So my big takeaway from this is, you know, we've got to make sure that everyone knows where the ship is headed. What are we doing? What are we building? How are we helping people? And the more exciting that is and the more committed to your people they are, the better it is. Now, if you walk around and people go, well, I don't know what we're building, I don't know what we're doing, I don't know why we're here, then you may need to really address this. So ask your people, what are we building, what are we doing?
And my big takeaway is very straightforward. If you wake up in the morning and you're not excited about going to work and going to lead your organization, your dream, your vision is not big enough. You have to be excited enough to wake up in the morning. You can't wait to take a shower, put your clothes on, get in the car, go to work, hopefully in that order. But you've got to be excited about what you're doing. If you're not excited, your vision is not big enough.
Great.
Thanks. Hope you enjoyed.